Hello, Libra, and welcome to all of us here, your 2021 annual reading. My name is Eric Francis Compolino, your astrologer for the next hour or so. I have got some thoughts and some ideas and some information coming from your astrology, charts included, right below the player somewhere. And it is good to be with you at this strange and awesome and awful time in human history, where I view my role as your astrologer to help you make the best of the situation. If you're in a great place, to make the most of a great place. If you're in a not so great place, to make the most of that. And let's take it away. So one thing about Libra right now, here in this new Aquarian era, is that you have a placement in your sign, a rather important one in my opinion, and that placement, it's a point called Logos. It is a long period thing like Pluto, and it might have the impact of Pluto if people paid attention, but it certainly is an option available for you. And what this is describing is a state of mind where you need things to make sense. You need things to make sense. And you will do your best to make sense of them any way that you can. This is, of course, a daring feat in a world right now where absolutely nothing makes sense. When it is seen in a light that all the facts are put in their place, the resulting thing, which may be completely factually true and supported, defies sensibility. So we're dealing with a situation where, as long as I've been monitoring the global situation through world crisis after world crisis, going back to the 1990s, it has never made less sense. And yet your energy field is needing reason, needing logic. And if the facts as you perceive them don't add up to what seems logical to you, kind of a pre-assessment of what's supposed to be logical, if things don't match that, you are likely to default into a mode where you will believe what is not true. And this is crucial right now, that you not go there, that you do anything else besides believe what is not true. That can include not making a judgment about whether you believe something or not, whether something is believable, and keeping an open mind and holding out for when additional facts are in. It can include scrutinizing everything and deciding what full-time task, I know. It can include restricting your perception down to your own choices, particularly health choices. We're going to look closely at that house, the sixth house, Pisces in your solar chart, and if you're Libra rising, and making sure that you have a filter up. Usually in medical choices, the filter is like the first, second, and third opinions, observation over some time, and asking grandma. Right now, we are in a global situation where there is a much stronger psychic disturbance, then there is a biomedical disturbance. Be that as it may, that there is some medical disturbance going on, that the thing that is sending more people into shock and into personal chaos is the condition of society on the mental and emotional level, including various circumstantial issues that people are having to face and therefore having to respond to. And so as part of this formula, it is of top priority that you consider something I've said many times before. I'm given to reminding people with a strong Libra chart, sun or rising, about this, which is that the single most important thing that influences your physical state of health, the way your body feels, your breath, the choices that you make about your health, do you drink enough water, all of this, beyond any other sign for Libra, is affected and influenced by the psychic dynamics of you and everyone around you and of the wider society. You are very porous. You are easily influenced. And so that can mean by anything. It can mean by fear. It can mean by emotional upset of any kind. It can mean by the anxiety of others, and it can mean by the dishonesty of others. That's a big one. And it is vitally important that you recognize this vulnerability and guard it carefully. The entrance portal, the concept that is the portal into your state of mind, and then, therefore, your physical state, is believing. So what is the thing to do here is to make sure that you understand when you are using what I will call the magical power of belief to create a version of reality to which you are subject as if it were real, regardless of whether it is real. And so straight off the stick here, what I'm going to suggest is that you put up a filter that guards the concept of belief and tighten up that mesh and make sure that you have your wholly rational process, wholly as in wholly, and why not toss in holy, because it is a gift from the cosmos that we are able to think rationally and to use that as a tool when we need to, and to apply the basics of logic to everything, particularly matters related to well-being in any form, how you maintain yourself, whatever the things you do that make you feel good or not good, that you know what those are, and in your workplace. So entrance portal number one into this psychogenic reality where the psychic sphere manifests physically, a distinctly Libran trait. Now, all humans have this to some degree, or potentially have this to some degree, but it doesn't show up any, no stronger than for the sign Libra. One entrance portal into this is belief, and the other entrance portal is work, in particular, the work environment, including the human environment. And so this is going to really require some scrutiny, because in the realm of belief and in the realm of the work environment, it is probable that there is misinformation that you are in some way subject to. The third realm is any part of the healthcare system, including holistic practitioners. And so here, belief can be an issue, because we tend to believe what these folks say. And work can be an issue, because there are going to be a lot of situations where the medical realm intersects with the work realm, which then intersects with the, this is how it is because this is how we say it is. And therefore, you have to believe that, and you don't get the opportunity to object. You're just simply subject. These are the places to be careful. And while all that's going on, you naturally are trying to make sense of it. And one of the ways you try to make sense of it is you try to make it work in language. You try to make the words work. The language of the explanation is where you're going to do most of your figuring it out. And that is important to do that, to see that. It is equally important that you be able to think in a nonlinear and non-rational way, and, for example, do a very broad assessment of what you think is possible. But the problem with that is that belief can enter and create a distortion that can have a way of overriding intuition with fear, or confusing intuition with fear. And one of the things about intuition is that it very rarely sends you into a state of fear, no matter how problematic the thing intuited correctly might be. It still is unlikely to come with fear. It's more likely to come with, this is what you have to do, rather than just simply what you need to be afraid of. And so anytime fear enters the picture, it's not intuition. You could make an axiom: if it's fearful, it's not intuition, or it is probably not intuition, meaning really probably not. So therefore, monitor your fear level at all times, and pay attention to when your fear level is being driven in some way, motivated by what you identify as a belief rather than an understood fact that you have personally verified. So if you want the world to make sense, it is crucial that you set about the task of personally verifying everything until you either do what a jury does, or an investigative reporter does, or an honest police investigator does. Rule it in, rule it out, or determine that you don't have enough information to do either one of those things. So the situation that you're in requires fully using your beautiful mind, fully utilizing the gift of knowledge and understanding that you have and that you are capable of, and not letting yourself be blown off course. And one of the ways you know that you're being blown off course is that your fear level goes up. it has been said many times, and I've experienced many times, that one's fear level declines with understanding. Actual, studied, researched, investigated, thorough understanding. And we are in such an environment of overall psychic chaos, destabilization, and disorientation that it is very challenging to navigate through these stormy, unpredictable, cyclonic waters where everything's just spinning all the time, and where you may be presented with contradictory facts coming in from three different directions right at the same time. And so this is why your state of mind is the most important thing in the world. Your ability to manage your filters. Now, while this is going on, across the dial, right across the event horizon, which is the Aries-Libra axis for you, Aries is a sign that is just a shade less influential in your life and in the reading of your astrology than your own sign. The opposite sign is one of the very most meaningful. And some astrologers have figured out that you have to consider the entire axis of a sign. So for Pisces, you think Virgo. For Virgo, you think Pisces. For Gemini, you think Sagittarius, and Sagittarius, you think Gemini, in addition to the reference sign in question. And so what is going on in Aries is Chiron in your seventh house. This has been gradually coming in since around early 2018, sometime in the spring of 2018, I think early April and so at some point, and completed in 2019. And so 2020 has been the first full year of Chiron in Aries. And it's five more years of this at least, and then a couple of years of it trailing off. And what this is suggesting is the seventh, let's just go back to that. The seventh represents your environment, and in particular, your relational environment. So it's the people that you relate to in whatever context that might be. Whole diversity of contexts cover the seventh house. Lovers, spouse, business partner, enemies, openly known enemies, all included in that face-to-face relationship between house one and house seven. And you have very high energy sign in house seven, which is Aries. Potentially the most important sign, because it would be nothing without Aries. A lot of ways to slice that apple, but let's just say that being the first sign and being a fire sign, Aries is a big deal, and you have Chiron in Aries, as we all do, but it's in your seventh house. And so what this is likely to describe is a lot of people who feel injured, a lot of people who feel wounded in your environment. And this can look like, essentially, it can look a lot worse than it is, because the state of being unhealed is, as happens with you, exaggerated by the psychic state. It's exaggerated by the fear state. And one of the indicators of Chiron in Aries is people identifying with their sense of injury as some kind of a sacred totem, right? We're not talking about the skin that a snake has shed, or a visitation from the coyote, or something like this, or this happened to me this summer, the sting of a bumblebee, the happy bee sting. No, to use one state of being injured as a totem, as a religious object, is a big problem. Always has been. And it is an even bigger problem now. And so one of the things you can do as part of this general awareness raising process is to notice who identifies with their sense of injury or sickness as a primary identity. As much as being like a world champion bowler or well-dressed person or scholar or whatever people identify with all kinds of things. But currently, at the moment, quite a few are identifying with the sense of being injured or potentially injured or afraid of being injured, all of which include sickness. And these people will have an effect on you. And so what I suggest is that you make conscious choices, as many people are having to make in their lives right now, make conscious choices about who you spend time with and consequently who influences you and whose values influence you. Right, because people come along with their values. They come along with their They come along with their priorities. They come along with their ideas about themselves and their ideas about life. And in a diversity of ways, you are subject to this through example setting, the dominant environment being the thing where you pick up most of your energy, therefore through energetic infiltration. And it is tough to be on the planet in a community, in a society that for whatever reason is in so much fear. This is unhealthy for everyone and everything, every critter of any kind, and it's particularly stressful and trying for you. And so I guess the simple way to say what I'm saying is find the people who feel good, find the people who feel healthy, find the people who are not afraid, find the people who are focused on their knowledge and understanding, and you use what they've learned. Use their methods. Read the stuff that they send you and evaluate it consciously, cognitively, on your own, paying attention to how you feel while you're doing it. Because there's two levels of input. There's the logos level, the intellectual level, and then there's the intuitive level. It might be coming through something like Chiron or through Neptune. Two different channels, but still, both of those are going to be offering you a mode of evaluation. And then while you're doing this, you continue to do the thing that we absolutely must do in the world right now, which is to pay attention at all times and know who we are traveling with. I have heard so many stories from people who have said that they have lost their friends this year over not agreeing about something. Well, can't talk to you. You're not acceptable. And given that that is the reality of the situation, and given how important it is not only for you to have friends, but for you to be a person respected by your friends, I would suggest that you make the most conscious choices of who you associate with in whatever format that might be, because the electronic and digital formats all contain energy exchange. And choose people who respect and who respect you. And part of that mutual respect is the ability to carry on a reasoned and sane conversation that of itself is not based in belief, but is based on an evaluation of what is so. Not what we think is so, not what we imagine might be so, not what we hope might be so or are afraid might be so, but rather what you actually know. And so that sign of respect, that assurance of respect is about the ability and the willingness by everyone to engage mutually and to do something that is very difficult but is increasingly urgent at this time, which is to withhold judgment until more information is available. People are very quick to come to conclusions right now, and we're living in a time where there is a volatile, dangerous phenomenon of people thinking that because they believe something, that makes it true, which is often coupled with there is no truth. So that's an oxymoron. And then other people, perhaps more influential, more powerful, thinking that if they believe something, then it must be true for everyone. And these are complementary bits of the machine here, the machine of thought, the machine of destiny. It's not really a machine; it's a little softer than that. But there is quite a bit of mechanical non-reasoning going on with Chiron in your seventh house in Aries. One of the things you want to be looking at among the people that you associate with is, what does it really mean to be a person? What's the meaning of that? What are the guidelines to follow? What are the rules? What are the conditions on being a person? It may seem like it's something you can take for granted. But one thing I have noticed in all of this, all of this that we've been living through since March, is that one of the real points of contention and one of the most serious points of abuse involves this matter of what it means to be a person. What's the relationship one has to one's body? What's the relationship one has to the fact of being alive? What's the relationship to mortality? What is the relationship to living in a world that is full of uncertainties, and certainly there are a lot more of them than they are of anything being certain, particularly comparing where we were 1 year ago to where we are now. It's really never seemed like less was certain. All that's part of the human experience. And so what I suggest you listen for in people, and what you evaluate, whether you want them to have an influence on you, on your thoughts, on your choices, on your energy body, therefore on your physical body, occupying your time, occupying your space, is what do they think it means to be human? And of course, this is a question that you have to keep asking yourself as well, because one thing that is happening is the concept of what human is being changed very quickly. The concept of what the human experience should be or might be is being changed very radically. I don't mean it is changing. I mean it is being changed as a conscious act by people taking up the issue, by people taking up the cause and saying, well, this is what it's going to mean to you from now on to be a person. This is how you're going to act from now on to be a person. Heavy stuff. Real, quite presumptuous, actually. Pretty much as presumptuous as it gets. It's presumptuous as a hostage situation, which is what it is. And so your quest for your understanding of your humanity must be a top-level priority for you. And learning from everyone else and choosing the people whose concept of humanity and of being human roughly aligns with yours in the important ways, important, deep ways. And what turns out, they might be people of any political persuasion, any race, any age, any country. Back in a moment. One of the things going on in the world right now is a destabilization. My understanding is that this is the result of what has happened to humans under digital conditions, which have entirely modified our concept of the body. And have, a metaphor from Star Trek might be helpful. You know the transporter room where they beam people up and down to different planets? And imagine, you know, that you have all of your molecules basically turned into energy and reconstituted on the other side when you go through the transporter thing. Well, imagine if you could only do that so many times before the integrity of the molecules of your body started to wear out. This is essentially what's happening with our constant projecting of ourselves into the digital realm. Doing all of this leaping around the world and bilocating and transporting ourselves to various places is that we are experiencing a crumbling of the integrity of the human form, essentially. And since it's happening to almost everyone, some are handling it better than others. Some know the methods for reconstituting themselves, which is what I'm going to talk to you about. Because you get a great way to do that, is that the entire experience of consciousness on the physical plane is disintegrating along with ideas like something is true because there's proof of it, rather than something that's true because I believe it, right? That's quicksand. Something is true because I believe it. Doesn't matter what the evidence says. This is religiosity. This is not any form of regimented scientific method based thinking. And though there are destabilizing factors at work in your chart, there is a very strong stabilizing factor for you, which is that quite recently, in mid-December, the 17th and the 19th, to be exact, the two largest planets entered your fellow air sign Aquarius. And this is good news for everyone, but it's especially good news if you are a Libra, because where the considerable power, momentum, energy, matter, mass of these two planets and their, God knows, 160 combined natural satellites and ring systems, first of all, formed a conjunction for the first time in Aquarius since 1405. 615 years ago was the last time there was a conjunction of these two planets in Aquarius, right at the dawn of the Renaissance. And what this means for you is that you get a place to stabilize. You get a place to collect yourself and to focus your life. And that is in the fifth house, the house that is associated with pleasure, play, games, sex in the form that teenagers have, which is basically for fun, curiosity, and experimentation, blowing off steam, and the house of art, the house of creation. All of those are in this thing called the fifth house. And because you have Libra associated with your first place, your first house, if we count to the fifth place, we land up in Aquarius. And you have Aquarius just brilliantly placed. And what this is suggesting is that the usual methods that people use to stabilize their lives, which tend to be a long-term relationship and their career, some their children, for you are all best exercised through grounding yourself in making something where the making of something is not directly involved with making money, where the making something is not directly involved with work-related responsibilities, where it is something that you do for your own sake, driven by love, curiosity, and the desire to do whatever that thing is for its own sake. So the fifth has a lot of that. Do it because it's the thing to do. All right, so you do it because it's the thing to do. And what I'm proposing that you will find is a shelter from the storm being chaos and confusion. And you will have a way in your own internal world, your own internal reality, to have things make sense. I mean, few things make more sense than a painting to the painter who made it. Few things make more sense than a song to the person who wrote the song. And so in this way, you will have a kind of a garden where you can orient yourself on the thing that you need the very most, which is sensibility. Something adds up. Something is real in the sense that the idea works, and then there's a physical thing to go with it, which you're involved with. And everyone needs stability right now, however they can get it, because there is so much going on that is obviously, you know, whether we're talking about the background effect of the digital world, which we are all struggling with, the events of 2020 would have been utterly impossible without the digital realm, what the digital realm has done to our awareness, what the digital realm has done to our sense of physicality, the way that the digital world has created a thing where information moves instantaneously at the speed of light, long before it has any chance of being verified, and what the digital realm has done to medical science, which is essentially turn something that is really a folk art. Healing is a folk art, which ought to be practiced by people who have a special gift for doing it. And instead, it's put it all in the hands of computers. That's really weird. Because a computer doesn't know how you feel. You know how you feel. But now you can feel perfectly fine. Can't, you know, not necessarily sick at all. You feel great. You're not contagious. And then there's no disease process operating in your body. And a computer can tell you, you have a deadly disease. Some people can take this. Some people can take this. Not everyone can take this. Not everyone can take this without going into some real fucking despair. And there's nothing wrong with them. Nothing. It's akin to the old days when somebody would take an HIV test and they would test positive because they were pregnant. No other reason. And then be told that they had a deadly disease. This has been scaled up to the global level. And it is all about digital. On every level, it is about digital. And with these planets in Aquarius, in your house of curiosity and creation, and doing things for its own sake, there will be plenty of opportunities for you to extend and express yourself in the digital realm. And here's why that's important. Because the most damaging effects of a technology are to the consumers. They're not so much to the artists behind it. And that's because the artists are doing two important things that artists do. They're staying awake in the context of the environment, in the context of the tools. The paintbrush is not boring to the painter, maybe quite boring to the person who appreciates art. La-di-da. You know, the painter may have like 100 paintbrushes in their studio. Does the person who likes the painting even think about that? Do they even see the brush strokes? The painter sees the brush strokes. The painter loves the paintbrush and the paint and the studio. So the first thing is, when you turn the environment around and you cease to be a consumer of the environment and you change into a creator in the environment, you are substantially protected in the process of doing so. And the second thing that artists do that most other people do not do is they recognize patterns. And that is an art in itself, but it also is indicative of artistry, the ability to recognize patterns, to see patterns, to study patterns, to want to do so, to be curious about doing so. And this is another way of staying awake and staying protected and keeping all the molecules of your body in order and not getting scrambled up as you go through the transporter device. Now, all that said, the abundant available opportunities to do everything through digital, and this, by the way, is what if we go to the beginning of 2020 to the end of 2020, look at what got vacuumed onto the internet. Almost everything. Almost everything. Seders, Thanksgiving dinners, Jesus Christ. Christmas, speaking of. Shopping, school, kindergarten, on and on. Sports events with cutouts. All this is about all those fans in Yankee Stadium who have cardboard cutouts in their season ticket seats, grandstands, sucked up onto the internet. Fucking crazy. So digital is only part of this to be able to work in that realm. What I more strongly suggest you do is that you have means of creating that are physical, tangible, analog. If you take pictures, print the pictures. Turn the picture into a physical, tangible, material object, and then decide how you feel about it. Send it to someone. Have fun with it in that sense. Exchange physicality. Sign your name to things. Paint things. Draw things. Sculpt things. Handle musical instruments. Make music with musical instruments. Because the analog and physical realms, because analog got a lot of electricity going on in it too, which has not the same effect as digital, but it is it can be similar, but still, it's a whole different feeling, you know, having my soul projected onto the internet than it is going in into the next room, flipping on an amp, and having a hunk of wood with metal wires in my hand. Very different reality. Stick to the physical if you can, as much as you can. Now, the other thing about Aquarius is co-creating, because there's always going to be a group. We're talking about planets that are two planets with umpteen dozen natural satellites, and the fact that it's Aquarius. And so this is the time to associate with other people who are not only creative, but expressing their creativity. And here we have a second basis for associating with people. In this time when all the relationships are being rearranged. Kind of crazy. I mean, I really wonder where this is going. And by some estimates, not such good places. But I don't think that's decided. I think we are right at the point where we are making collective decisions, which is why it is so crucial to get with people who are capable of and willing to make collective decisions that are not being made from a state of fear, and in particular not being made from a state of fear being mandatory. This is exactly the opposite of love. It is exactly precisely the opposite of creativity and creation. It is the exact opposite of any facet of what it actually means to be a living, breathing, flesh and blood, incarnated, alive human. The zone of your chart that addresses your professional activities is an interesting place, because you have the sign Cancer up there. Cancer in the 10th place. And one of the things with Cancer in the 10th place is that your goals cycle very quickly. There are times when you are sure you're something and doing something, and then you're not sure the next day, and pick up another type of another goal, another way to define yourself. I would propose that for you, your career is not the best way to describe yourself or define yourself in the first instance. We live in the Western world where people say, "How do you do?" And then they say, "What do you do?" And you're expected to have a neat, tidy, impressive answer. What I would suggest is that you identify with what you make. and that you identify with the creative impulse behind it, and that you identify with who you feel an affinity with, rather than the goal. So what you make is a thing that exists irrespective of the goal, who you associate with, and the motivation, the creative impulse, are not necessarily aspirational, right? Remember, the fifth is about doing it for the sake of doing it, not for the sake. Well, when you get into competitive sports in the fifth, there can be some of that, but really in the fifth, the ideal person to compete with is yourself, to do it better, just because you feel like doing it better. But my reading of this astrology is that the for its own sake is the most peaceful way to go, because it's going to bring you closer to yourself and closer to others. And that if you keep all of this at some arm's length from the work thing and the goal thing and the career thing and the profession thing and the office thing, such as it may still exist, what you will find is a place where you can stabilize your mind and your activities, and at the same time, extend that into something that can actually be quite helpful in your professional life and possibly help you pay the bills. So this is what I'm proposing as a primary orientation from you in the Aquarian era. The Aquarian era includes Jupiter's visit to Aquarius this year, which is not so long as it usually is. Usually is 1 year, but because of a retrograde effect in Pisces, we're going to get a little less than a year, and there's going to be a kind of a rapid tour of Aquarius by Jupiter between now and May, when Jupiter enters Pisces. Then Saturn will be moving across Aquarius till early March 2023. So a little over 2 years, approximately 2 years and two months, basically. Because it's early March, not late March. Not a very long period of time, but enough time, given the extraordinary power of Saturn in Aquarius, the extraordinary manifesting power of Saturn in Aquarius, for you to make a space for the new person that you're becoming, and for you to find a place where you can work in, you know, though it may be a kind of a personal studio setting, wherever, whatever you might do that, attic, garage, extra room, kitchen table, whatever it might be, where you can, through the creative process, redefine yourself and be ready, first of all, have something that not everyone has in this incredibly tumultuous and destabilized time, but also have made a place for the person that you are becoming in time for Pluto entering Aquarius in late March 2023. So Pluto in Aquarius does a phase in over a couple of years. And this is where, you know, I think it's going to be helpful. You'll realize it's helpful to define your life by what you make for its own sake rather than for the sake of someone else or for the sake of money. But by the time Pluto arrives, it's going to make a lot more sense why this was a valid path for you. And where you will have the benefits of experience at a time in 2023 when you're really going to need, or at least really will benefit from, experience, right? Because you want practice. You want to be ready for whatever Pluto in Aquarius is going to be. And so much of what we're doing now through the entry of Pluto into Aquarius is preparing for this most unusual transit that's going to last until 2044. It's more than 20 years of of Pluto in Aquarius. And so this is likely to drive your creative passions and your inventive passions and the new social reality that forms around them. This is the best part, right? Because sometimes art can be isolating, but sometimes being an artist is the way that you find a whole new realm of people and people with a purpose that you can relate to. And remember, by being an artist, I mean what you make for its own sake, using your tools to stay awake rather than to go asleep, contributing rather than exclusively consuming, and recognizing patterns, allowing your mind, which is kind of half intuitive and half intellectual, which is beautiful because it's a left-right balance in that sense, to see what's going on and figure it out for yourself. So really get it. All right. So let's take a little break here. And we'll continue with part three. So how about some thoughts about the social dimension of reality from at least two angles, possibly a third one brewing around? Extremely important topic right now because the whole social realm is the place where the most damage is being done right now. And it is also one of your strong suits. You see, one of the things that makes you you is that you are not intimidated in social situations, or not generally. And if you are, it has to take something really special, like you come in from mud wrestling and walk into a black tie dinner. But who knows? You might think that would be fun. I don't know. I would think that would be fun. And in a way, I just pulled that metaphor out of my ear, but in a way, that's kind of what's going on in a few different ways in your chart. So let's talk about how that works structurally, partly because I like talking about the solar chart and partly because it will give you orientation into your astrology. So counting from Libra as the point of orientation in the chart, also known as the first house or the rising sign, and in a solar chart for your sun sign, we just orient on Libra and fill in the planets and start talking. If we start from Libra and count 11 places, we land up at Leo. The 11th place is the, first of all, the most social place in the chart. It is also associated with the monetary reward of your true professional life. Your true professional life, by the way, has a lot to do with taking care of people. Whatever you do, whatever work you do, your work must involve taking care of people. I know there's other signs that get that distinction, but when we take the sign Cancer and we line it up with the 10th house, that's the thing. It's not necessarily the most prestige. It's not necessarily the most money. It's not necessarily the corner office. It doesn't necessarily mean you have a PhD or MD after your name. But if you do have a PhD or MD after your name, it is all the more relevant to remember this. But whatever it is that you do, whatever it, it is that you do as your professional vocation, because you're more of the vocation type than the career type, you really need to follow a vocation. In whatever you're doing, you have to be taking care of people. And this can be the, you know, do switchboard operators still exist? Somebody must have one who's just nice to everyone all day long and spreads good vibes to every person who calls. It is the grocery clerk who doesn't just view his job as stacking soup cans on the shelf, but also makes a point of making sure that everyone in the supermarket can find everything. And so, like, on day two of the job, you decided you're going to memorize where everything goes, which of course you have to do if you're going to be stacking soup on the shelves. And then you're the guy with the good directions how to get there. And you take pride and pleasure in taking care of people, whatever it might be. You could be a cop, and you may come in under quota on tickets every month and get spanked, but you know you're not going to get fired. And instead of writing people tickets, you take care of them and you make sure that they're okay. Whatever it is. President of the United States, going to take care of people. CEO of a major corporation, for that matter, a small corporation, you're going to take care of your employees. You would view your job as being the boss only out of a level of fiduciary responsibility, but then out of social and ethical responsibility, and just because you take pleasure in doing so, you take care of people. Okay, let's switch to the fire signs, because all the comments I have involve the fire signs, which are always important to the air signs. Just like the earth signs are very important to the water signs, the fire signs are of crucial importance to the air signs. That'll be you. And the fire sign I'm focusing on is Leo. Leo's in your 11th place, the house of all of us here. And what? So without any planets at all in the conversation, you shine in public environments. And you feel comfortable in public environments, and you like the attention of public environments, but don't necessarily seek it for its own sake. It's just that, unlike a lot of people, you're very unlikely to get all squeamish and weird if people have attention focused on you. You have a level of genuine social grace. And this comes from having Leo in the 11th house. When we add planets, we find out some very interesting things. Three planets I'm currently tracking through Leo, they are all long-term presences, though I don't think I have ever mentioned any of them, at least not recently. So there is a planet called Varuna. It's a minor planet. Varuna. Its orbit is 282 years, and it is a classical Kuiper Belt object. It's a bit further out than Pluto. Anything that's getting near 300 years is a classical Kuiper object. A little bit gentler action than the ones in resonance with Pluto. In Varuna, cutting to the chase of my delineation of Varuna, is that it is the equalizer. Varuna is about people being equals and knowing how to do so, or you having this kind of crystal in your pocket that is always reminding you that whatever else may be going on in the human realm, ultimately, we're all just people. And one of the things that often happens in the social realm is that some some pigs are, everyone is equal, but some pigs are more equal than other pigs. That is from a brilliantly devastating satire called Animal Farm by George Orwell. Delightfully short. It's one of those books that's so short you wish it was longer. And that's the problem with the world, is that some pigs are more equal than other pigs. And you, though, understand that all the pigs are exactly equal, and it's not like you have to take anybody down a notch. Rather, you can slide in from any angle that you want. You can be subtle and come from slightly below. You can come from directly level ground. You can come from directly above. There's a whole bunch of options that you have for how to approach this, but ultimately you understand that we're all in this together. And this is an incredible social tool. It's an incredible social tool in part because it allows you to move among the different levels of society. These illusionary castes that we have in our society, such that you could pretty much sidle up to anyone and get a conversation going because you're not afraid. Now let's add another point. Varuna, by the way, discovered in the year 2000, it was considered such an important discovery. This is one way that astronomers talk to one another. Varuna was considered such an important discovery in 2000, so it's a planet of the millennium, that it was given the honorific number 20,000, Varuna. All the minor planets get a number, like Chiron is, oh my God, I forgot the minor planet number of Chiron. I'll think of it when I'm not doing this. Varuna is 20,000 Varuna, and it's a huge creation deity from pre-Vedic mythology. It's paired with Mithra. Mithra Varuna. They're a pair, god and goddess pairing. Second is Vulcanus. This is a hypothetical point. It's one of those weird things that don't have a body. They just have a name and a symbol and a place in the charts, and they like exist in computer scripts, and has a very slow orbit. And Vulcanus is its name. And this is just simply a lot of energy. A lot of energy to do whatever you want. A lot of energy to be exactly who you want to be and exactly who you are, whichever you choose to be that day. And these two are in a long conjunction. Varuna and Vulcanus. Varuna, by the way, was discovered in the sign Cancer, and so we've only ever consciously known Varuna in the sign Cancer, and then a couple of years ago, it finally dipped into Leo, where it is now, where it's going to be probably for about another 15, 20 years. And together, these are about you bringing a lot of positive energy to the situations that you encounter, the social situations that you encounter. It is about you more than shining in those, which you do anyway, because you always look good and all that, and you know when to turn the energy up, but this is saying that you have energy to turn up. I think of Leo as being the human blowtorch. If you've ever used a blowtorch, you can set the thing down on the table and turn the flame down very low, but it's still lit. And then all you have to do is turn that little wheel, and then it's like blowing out an inch and a half of flame, you know, which you can use to do a lot of different things, like make flambé. And you have this ability to modulate your energy. Modulate your energy. So you can go from black tie to rock star in one jump. And here's why this is so important right now. The social realm is being killed. You may or may not agree with me that the social realm is being killed needlessly. Whatever anyone might believe about a pandemic or a virus or whatever, even at its worst, even in the worst case scenario, it's my position that the social realm is being killed needlessly. They don't need to be doing this, but it's not dead yet. It's damn close. And what I suggest is that you show up in as many social situations as you can in person and bring your heat and your fire and your passion and your sense of commitment and your sense of your brilliant sense of human equality into those situations. And you really be there and you really set the example of what it's like to be in a social situation and not be afraid of anyone for any reason. Someone coughs or sneezes, you offer them a tissue. Okay, one last point that kind of emphasizes the whole theme. The theme being your role in this, your role bringing heat and passion into what is currently a dangerously like low pulse in the social realm. It's a point called sila nunum. I don't have sila nunum on my chart on the wall here. I've got a scribble chart on notebook paper. Sila. I love this point, and I love that it's in Leo. It's Mark Andrew Holmes. He's a smart guy. When was it? Okay, so it's from the late 90s, Feb 3, 1997, by one of my favorite discovery teams. I love all these people. Jane Liu is great. She discovered the Kuiper Belt. David Jewett, he discovered the Kuiper Belt. QB1, they're the QB1 people. I don't know who Chadwick... Oh, Chad Trujillo. I've talked to him. He's a brilliant guy. And so this is like an all-star of the astronomer sweethearts. And one guy I don't know named Jin Chen at Mauna Kea. So he's up in the observatory in Hawaii where Jane and David did a lot of their best work in the 1990s. I view sila nunum. Well, this is a okay, there's two different points. One's called sila, one's called nunum. And one, it is the bridge between the earth and the sky, basically. So sila is the Inuit god of the sky, the weather, and the life force. Nunum is the goddess of the earth, who is sila's wife. Nunum created the animals, and in some traditions, the Inuit people. In other traditions, sila created the first people out of wet sand, and breathed life into the Inuit. So we're talking a creation god here, creation god goddess set. But also the thing that I think of as being in many ways so leonine. I mean, this point's been in Leo forever. It's going to be in Leo for a long time, or at least a while longer, is that you bridge the earth and the sky. And if you think of yourself as doing that, you will be happy because it's what you do. And it's especially what you do when you're in any situation where your Leo is invoked, which is any public situation, where you could be the bridge between any people. You can be the bridge between any layers or imaginary strata of society. You can be the bridge between people who don't know each other. Heck, you could be the bridge between people who don't even like each other. But as long as you're there introducing them, everyone feels safe because they both like you. So therefore, they know that it's okay to like each other. And this is how I suggest you approach your social situations, remembering that in addition to having a value of their own, your social situations help fulfill a professional value of taking care of people, and also you're likely to meet people who you can help and who can help you in social environments and help people get out of this horrific, pernicious fear that is going around. Second point, and let's see if I can get to the third without rushing it. Second point, fire sign Aries. We talked about this briefly in your seventh house, and that you have Chiron in the seventh house. And I don't remember, since I did the rest of this reading yesterday, if I talked much about Salacia. The thing about Salacia Chiron is that it is calling on you to be real about your sexuality with everyone. It doesn't necessarily mean sending out a press release all the time or making an announcement on the subway, BART, or the city bus. However, it does mean being real. Being real is just simply being real. Being real about attraction, being real about how you feel about people, being real about how beautiful you are, being real about your desire, being real about people you like, just being real. Here's the thing. Here's the catch. You are likely, not assured, but likely to feel that you run into something when you are real. When you get to that too real point, there's a very good chance that the thing that you have run into is a limit that you feel coming through some ancestral connection. Essentially, your predecessors were much more stiff and stuffy about their sexuality than you will ever be, but you still pick up some of it, and you will feel your boundary as this little thing that tugs you back. And the thing that tugs you back is most likely to be the genetic presence or karmic presence of an ancestor or the whole ancestral line that just could never quite get over itself. And so you may find yourself in this tense little tug of war between the present and the distant past. And the more you work with that tug of war, I think the funnier that it's going to become, that you might be noticing people from the past, like long dead, whose graves nobody knows where they are, telling you, you better behave yourself. So this is part of your healing process, as indicated by the Chiron-Salacia conjunction. It's part of a maturing process. Part of maturing is testing the boundaries of what is appropriate in any situation. And the only way to find out what is appropriate is to step into the realm of the inappropriate. And once you've stuck your toe in the realm of the inappropriate, then you get to see, first of all, what temperature it is, how you feel about it, how other people feel about it. And you get to make your own boundaries rather than kind of waddling along in a caste of someone else's boundaries. Like, not caste system caste, but that does apply. Caste meaning, those plaster of Paris things that all your friends sign. Waddling around, unable to move or dance or do much at all. And that thing is the thing that you want to cut yourself free of. Soak it in water if you have to. It'll turn all mushy and stuff. And then you find out where your boundaries are or where the previous boundaries are, and then you make your own boundaries. So you need to stretch and flex and be a little inappropriate. Be a little, just a little over the top. Use the blowtorch and turn it up like 3/4 of the way, not the whole way, till you find out where you are and what's going on. And this is more of a one-on-one thing when we're talking about this, though it can apply to group situations in certain ways, because every group situation is really a whole bunch of one-on-one situations. But really what I'm talking about mostly in this part is individual people. Remembering that your testing and stretching of boundaries is integral to your healing process. Okay. Fire sign, the last. That would be Sagittarius. Also, in a social position. So remember, the fire signs are all in social positions in your chart, you're likely to feel very good around fire sign people. And during times when the sun is in a fire sign, it keeps you warm. It keeps the air warm. It keeps the air moving. And the third fire sign is Sagittarius, cosmic fire. Aries is more personal fire. Leo is more solar fire. And Sagittarius is more cosmic fire. And what is so exciting, among other things, about your chart is that where you have the sign of cosmic fire is in your house of the neighborhood. This, by the way, is why house and sign combinations are so much fun and are endlessly interesting. So the third house is local affairs. It's neighbors, brethren, all who live in your little compound. I think of the third house as being those merchants anywhere whose names you know, everything in walking distance, possibly, well, walking and biking distance, and possibly in short driving distance, as long as the people are familiar to you. So if you've got to drive 2 miles to get to the sushi restaurant, but you know everyone's name, or you at least know a few people, and you say hello to the manager on the way in, and they recognize you as a regular customer, you're in the third house. The third house has a familiarity to it, a kinship, and a kind of a brotherly love, but it is a local affair, as opposed to the ninth house, which is very much an international affair. So when you put Sagittarius on the house of the local affair, you get a really interesting result, which is essentially you can get anywhere from here, and you would probably love to live in one of those neighborhoods of Queens where there are like 93 countries represented in a 20-block area, every kind of ethnic food imaginable, which, by the way, would be a fabulous hobby for you, assuming that there's any restaurants left by the end of 2021. And this is, though there are no major transits going on in Sagittarius, that was going on like crazy all through the 2010s and through the 2000s, that is to say 2000 through 2010. And then as the 2010s, moved along, which were just ending now, we're in the 2020s, that all dissipated. Those planets all moved on. They moved to Capricorn. They went further. But Sagittarius is a big sign for anyone because of these galactic points in it, the Great Attractor and the Galactic Center. So it's a little like a scene from a Stephen King novel where there's a local diner and you like to go to the local diner and you go to the back one day, you know, let's pretend the front restroom is being used. So they send you to the kind of weird back restroom near the kitchen door. And you notice there's a phone booth and you haven't been in a phone booth since you were a little kid. So just for fun, you rummage around your purse or your pocket to find a quarter, and you go in the phone booth and you close the door and you find out that you're in a time portal that can take you somewhere else. That's your third house. So you have the ideal chart for you can get anywhere from here. Kind of like the inversion of the Boston joke. You can't get there from here. You can get anywhere from anywhere, especially near you, and you're likely to have a very exciting and intriguing cast of characters, even in your local neighborhood. So it really is a good idea for you to get to know your neighbors. Your neighbors will appreciate it. Your neighbors will appreciate that you show up in person at their restaurant or takeout joint and don't use Grubhub. That you show up, you pay cash, you tip them, and you thank them for making you food. This is going to go a long way in the world right now. In a way, the whole world has been leveled, and we are finding out something that is on one level disturbing and on another level refreshing to at least know the truth, which is how fucking terrified so many people are of everyone. So this whole drama is in one way just a turning inside out of the general state of detente and hostility that so many people have had for one another. And by the way, I think that the mask is mostly a metaphor for the way in which people tend to always walk around with a poker face. Right? There's very few people in the world whose face reflects how they feel. Who have a sincere face. Because they are sincere in that they are not trying to conceal anything. And at your best, that would be you. And so all of the vibrations of all of your social houses, 7th house, this is the social house of one-on-one, the 11th house, the social house of lots of people in the same place, and the 3rd house, the social house of getting to know your neighbors and your neighborhood and all the streets and showing up everywhere in person, is Sagittarius. And this means you can make a big world from a small world. You can take a very local or even regional environment and without going very far, have exciting adventures. And right now, the world is just parched for exciting adventures. And there are lots of people who are looking for anyone to set the example of how it is possible to exist in the world and trust people and not treat everyone like they are an assassin or a biohazard. I cannot emphasize how spiritually and emotionally dangerous, as in suicidal, this is. Yeah, it may seem like common sense, but it was also common sense to take people during Spanish flu time and dump like 5 grams of aspirin into their body, and then they would hemorrhage. And everyone thought this was the greatest thing in the world, and the disease was so poisonous when it turns out that most of them were killed by hemorrhaging brought on by medicine. Got to watch that really, really carefully. And the worst medicine for humans, the worst medicine for you who loves people is for people to be driven apart from one another. We will have a vast pandemic of failure to thrive unless we address this. And you have the moxie and the mojo, the guts, the intelligence to do this, to be real wherever you are, to introduce everyone to everyone. Thank you for listening. Don't miss your rising sign. Share this reading if someone will appreciate it. And I'll catch you somewhere around the wheel.